water, thirst, and Christ, all bound up together to try to explain to us what our Lord is up to. He sits at the well, tired after his journey, and speaks to this outcast woman and says, "Give me a drink." He's thirsty. What he's really, really thirsty for is her. Not to deny that he has human thirst, of course he does. But actually what he's after is her. Our Lord goes in search of the human soul. That's what he really wants. And he's after her. And this whole dialogue is about trying to draw her out of the mundane into the supernatural. She comes to the well concerned about providing water for her home. Her mind is fixed on the now, on the necessary, but he is calling her to something richer than that. You can see it in the discussion between water and living water. You can see it echoed in the discussion with the disciples between food that they think he's been eating on the sly and the food that he's speaking about to do the will of the one who sent me. It has the same impact on our Lord's human soul as food has on his human body. It's what gives his body strength to do the will of his Father is what gives strength to his soul. He thirsts for souls. And he does so by calling them to see something richer about life, not just the details of the day-to-day necessities, but to move to something more profound. And he gives this image of living water, water of life. It's an image, it's tremendously profound. There are so many resonances throughout the scriptures to water giving life, not just at a natural level. We have Moses and the people of Israel in the desert being given miraculous water from a rock. But one particular image comes to my mind, and it comes from the prophecy of Ezekiel. It'll be one that I think you will be familiar with. Ezekiel, this extraordinary, this great prophet, is a very visual prophet. The prophecy of Ezekiel throughout the book is very, very visual indeed. He likes using visual images to express what he's preaching. And in this particular section in chapter 47, he sees a vision. God gives him a vision of the temple. Again, it's very, very visual. And he sees the building of the temple. And from the right side of the temple flows a stream. And the stream, and he is asked at several points to cross this stream. And at one point it is very shallow. He crosses a second time and it has risen up to his waist. He crosses again and it's up to his chest. And then it's too deep for him to cross. It has swollen to become this great river. And he is told that wherever the river flows, it brings life. In the river, fish teem with life in all of their varieties. On the banks of this river, trees grow in abundance and produce fruit not once a year, but every month. It's almost an exaggerated, accelerated life that they draw from this stream that flows out of the temple. It's almost as if in his vision everywhere else somehow is deficient of life, all of it focused on the temple in Jerusalem. It's an image of living water, real life that flows not from the frenetic activity of the human person, but life that flows as a gift from God. And it reminds me of that image of our Lord on the cross. He describes his own body as the temple, which if you destroy it, he will raise it in 3 days, as he does. And from his right side flow blood and water. The fountain of living water in the church, the fountain of baptism. My brothers and sisters, this living water is not just an image, it's a reality. We have access to this water of life through the sacrament of baptism. But this water of life, our Lord describes as something that wells up from within the human person, having been poured into us by the Holy Spirit. This capacity for God, this fundamental response from the depths of the human person to this call of our Lord, as the Samaritan woman responds to him, so this well of living water is starting to well up within her. She moves from simply considering the liquid in the well to what he has to offer her, to the point where she runs back into the town to let everybody know this man is not just a prophet, he may be the Christ. There is a spring welling within her as she moves from the purely physical life to the life of the soul. And this water that wells up to eternal life, think of the image of Noah and the flood. Water that on the one hand destroys what is wicked and sinful, and on the other lifts up the ark, carrying Noah and his family. It does both. As an image of the waters of baptism, as an image of the life of grace within us, it's helpful because it reminds us that this well of living water that our Lord speaks about, this spring within us that is planted in us in baptism and desires, seeks to grow as that river pouring out of the right side of the temple swells into this enormous river of living water. So in the same way, the spiritual life within the Christian person seeks to grow, to become a greater part of us. You can see it in her, the Samaritan woman. She becomes the most beautiful image of conversion, the life of a disciple, a human being, who hears the voice of our Lord, starting at such a mundane level, give me a drink, I'm thirsty, but leads her to the contemplation of things so much more profound, her own family life and her marriage, deeper to her worship on the Lord God. He says, we worship what we do not, what we know. You worship what you do not know. He wants her to know himself, the Lord God, more profoundly. This is the spring of living water that wells up within the soul of a human person, the desire for God and the desire to know God. And she has begun to taste the living water. My brothers and sisters, Lent is a time to excavate the soul, because that spring of living water has been placed within you and me in baptism by God's gift and not by our work. It is there within you. It is a thirst that echoes our Lord's thirst. He thirsts for her soul, for a relationship of love with her, a love that is perfect and holy, that seeks for her to know him as fully as he knows her. And that thirst is something that she comes to experience herself, a thirst within her to know the Lord her God above all things. This is what lies very deep, buried in the very character of the season of Lent. And I urge you to uncover a thirst that lies within your soul for the Lord our God. Think of that image of the temple, the water of life that flows from its right side, the right side of our Lord on the cross, the baptism with which he blesses the church, allowing the church's children, us, to come to birth in him. We have been given the capacity to be lifted up by this spring of water, this thirst for God, this ability to know him, to place him first, for that love of him to motivate us. And Lent is a time to go in search of that spring. You will find it in your soul. Lent is a time to encourage that, not just that thirst, but the activity that we need to go through in order to satisfy that thirst. And there is only one place to do that: Christ himself, in his holy church, in his holy scriptures, in the worship of the church, in our own personal prayer. Allow the presence of our Lord to satisfy the thirst in you that the presence of our Lord satisfies in terms of the thirst in this extraordinary Samaritan woman. God bless you.